Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
The only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's taking it personally. I am so excited. I'm a traitor to my community by not having recorded a Traitors ep last week. So I am so excited for this deep dive because what a season we have had in front of us. Welcome back to Taking It Personally, Tip, one of my absolute favorite people who you know as a Bravoholic vulture blogger, whose other credits include Vogue, The Cut, LA Times, among others, also a recent Andy's Girls. Welcome back to the Clawfist for this deep dive, Tom Smith Smythe, how are we?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
What a time to be alive.
No better time to do a Traitors episode than after the one that just aired.
It is appointment television, yeah. Number one. Not since the season finale of Euphoria have I so frantically refreshed an app on my television to wait until the new episode has dropped and I'm ready to watch it. I mean, it truly has become a Thursday night spectacular.
100%. And for everybody worldwide, everybody in the world is watching.
And I was honestly, spoiler, guys. I mean, LOL, come on. I was frantic in the lead up to this episode because I had a feeling that Dan was going to do something with Phaedra. And I was nervous because the teaser for this season includes Phaedra, you know, throwing some shade Peter's way.
Yeah.
So I guess that's unfortunately something we have to look forward to in the future. I say unfortunately because it does mean that Phaedra is still in the hot seat. But the lead up to this episode, when Dan started delivering his...
Oh my God.
I got really nervous.
I stood up.
I definitely yelled at the TV and I thought to myself, like, I don't know what's happening this season, but with the season prior and other iterations of Traitors that I've seen, I usually do want the faithfuls to uncover the traitor. But in this case, I was like, don't you dare. Don't anyone dare believe this man. And I'm concerned with the way he's laying this out because I'm not ready for her to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find it interesting because I'm curious how people generally feel about, are you rooting for the traitors or are you rooting for the faithfuls? And it might just depend on like who you know in the cast. Mm. Because once Phaedra was knighted as a traitor, then I was like, here we are.
Team traitor.
Yes. Like, there's no way. She's just so, so good at it. And she's so good at the show and the job of it. And then once they brought on Parvati, who is the light of my life and just one of my favorite people in the world, I was just firmly in that camp. So I was so nervous, as you were saying, when Dan started his spiel, when he started going around and being like, I'm gonna have something to say. Finally, I'm gonna have something to say. Just hear me out. And then when he teased, it's gonna be one of my fellow traitors, I actually thought it must be Parvati because that just made more logical sense. I think Parvati is a much easier target because she is a game player that people know. She's famous for being a game. It's shocking that she hasn't been more in the hot seat just because of who she is. And then he weirdly went for Phaedra and it did, and she ate him up, destroyed him.
I mean, when he started laying it out, I was like, it felt methodical to me. I thought it was going to be successful. And here's the problem is that I have a wealth of history and memory about Housewives and Bravo. Not complete, but you know, it's lengthy. Yeah. It's multi-layered. I don't have it about other shows. So with Dan's performance, honestly, until this week, I was like, is Dan a flop? Because I get you're telling me that he's one Big Brother, but I didn't watch it. So I don't. Everyone's like, it was the best game and Dan and Janelle are phenomenal. And like, you don't understand. You're right. I don't understand. It makes me want to rewatch Big Brother, which I absolutely won't do. But I will probably watch like a 5 to 7 minute clip package on YouTube about it. Right. Because I'm not getting that he he's giving me flop energy. He's so quiet. People are constantly calling him out on stuff because it does feel obvious. And I appreciate him trying to turn that against Phaedra. But the thing is, it had been turned on him for so long. Mm-hmm. I just thought to myself, like, he's not giving me like all-star. He's not giving me winner energy specific to the traitors. But then when he started to do the monologue and he was like, raise your hand if blah, blah, blah. And then blah, blah, blah. And what did you say here and there? I thought to myself, This is not bad. This is really well done.
When it first started, I also was like, oh crap, he's really got something up. Is he like, he's rehearsed, he's got something going, this cannot. And then the savior of all saviors who swooped in.
Oh my God.
Kate Chastain.
Thank God for her.
Who just immediately popped his balloon.
Thank God for her.
Let out all the air. It was a masterclass in defense where she just immediately, like, he would say something that he thought was like had gravitas and like was a like a gotcha, and Kate was like, who cares? Like, she fully was just like, look at her, is she extra, look at her. And he's like, so you have an issue with this, like blah blah blah, like shutting them all down, boom boom boom, which was so funny and brilliant, and gave Phaedra like a layup to then just absolutely dominate.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, first off, I would have loved to have been surprised by Kate's entrance, but several people excitedly messaged me about it. Mm-hmm. So, and I am vehemently anti-spoiler. I don't want to, and I include information shared by the network as a spoiler. I don't look for it. I try to hide from it. Uh-huh. So that was kind of disappointing that I already knew, even though I guess one could argue at a certain point in the lead up to it, how could you maybe not know? But I can tell you, I wouldn't have known. When she first ran, I was like, okay, like Kate was phenomenal last season. I'm not taking anything, but I just thought, like, do we need her right now? Cause this show is so good. But you better fucking believe when Kate immediately said no and nobody else was doing that.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, thank God for Kate Chastain.
Thank God. Yeah.
Thank God she is there. Cause she, not that Phaedra needs anyone, but she was absolutely, I think, helped by that energy of someone coming in and saying that's completely ridiculous. None of that made sense. None of that means she's a traitor. And then Phaedra went in. And then we got Phaedra Atlanta reunion ripping Kenya a new asshole for a slice of pizza. And I thought to myself, I didn't know that we were going to have this moment again. Like, dear God, dear Lord above. I did not think we would be so blessed in this lifetime to have two sperm cup pizza moments in our history, in our lexicon. And this is why, for Janelle or anybody listening, you don't discount housewives. You just don't do it. It's not smart.
It's such... I mean, like you were saying earlier, I envy people who are Survivor stands, Big Brother stands, Housewives stands, the Challenge stands.
Yeah, we're all gifted. Them. There's a seat at the table.
But I really envy the people who have them all up their sleeve, because they must just be living for this and getting to see everything. Like, I personally, obviously Housewives and Survivor. So I at least have a little of this, a little of that.
Black Widow, Survivor person knows the poverty season.
And like, I know, like, people tell me things about Dan, Janelle, like, I get it, I respect it, but I obviously won't enjoy it to the maximum that I could, because it's just not, I don't have that backstory. Mm-hmm. But it's so fascinating getting to watch them all kind of litigate what skill set is being a housewife versus the skill set of being on Survivor versus being on the Challenge versus being Big Brother, and how does that mesh in this game? But it's just a great mix, and they couldn't write a better like plot for how this season is going. Like, things are happening that are totally up to chance, totally up to people's whims, and it's like, this is producers' dreams come true. Like, it's you couldn't script this if you wanted to.
And there was, I mean, like, I've never seen Love Island US.
Oh, yes.
I've only seen like a couple seasons maybe of UK, and I don't have a ton of recall. I of course know who Ekin-Su is, love her, but Berkey.
Oh yes.
I mean, I would fight to the death to defend his honor and his heart, honestly. More importantly, Bergalicious. Thank God he had that shield, because I forgot the name of it. Crown. He had a crown, because I would have been honestly really upset had he been killed.
Yeah.
But some of these energies, I mean, when he was so unbelievably aggrieved after Janelle was voted off. I just felt for him. I was like, my sweet, another Le Petit Prince. Like,
yeah.
He just, I want to protect him and defend him and fight for him, mm-hmm. just as long as he never thinks that Phaedra is a traitor, in which yes. case you're going to need to be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are so many different personality types. And I wonder, who do you think has done the best job of adapting to the traitors?
Oh,
noting that we are not, it sounds like both of us, neither of us are Big Brother people. Yeah, I know Johnny so Bananas, definitely... I know CT, I know the Challenger.
Yeah.
I don't know UK Parliament as well as I should.
Yeah, there are definitely some blind spots. In terms of who adapted the definitely Charette. No, I'm just kidding.
she by somewhere. Yes. When she realizes
what show she's on, she's going to be shocked. But I could say Phaedra, but I don't even think it's that much of an adapting. She's just being Phaedra.
Yeah,
and this is just perfect.
Yeah.
I think. Oh, that's a tough one. I will say. All right, two-parter. I'm very impressed with Sandra and Parvati, as expected, because they are genius game players. Mm-hmm. So expectations for them were way, way high going in. And I think they've met those brilliantly. I think that they've done a really great job at playing it cool and not letting that reputation precede them, because they easily could have entered this game and been the number one targets of, like, we need to get them out. They're the ones to watch. And somehow they've managed to chill out and like kind of blend in enough that they're still here, which I think is a massive triumph for them. I think an unexpected person who's really playing the game well this episode in particular is Pilot Pete.
Unbelievable.
I thought he was a little messy with this plan and how he was doing it, but it worked out really well to keep the shield a secret and then give that information, give false information out to a select group of suspects, worked out brilliantly. And now he's basically got a one-way ticket to win the game if he wants it. With the way this episode ended, they invited him to be a traitor. And I think that the traitors are now set up for victory phenomenally well. I think they're in a really great position, and I think that Pete specifically, that invitation is the greatest gift he could have ever wanted.
That was honestly superb strategy by Parvati. I didn't know where she was going to go. I honestly didn't guess that she would choose Peter. And when she started to explain it to Phaedra and to us, frankly,
yeah,
I was like, oh, that's the smartest thing you could have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is your number one enemy and threat. So yeah, offer him the opportunity to continue to be on the show. That's what she's offering him.
Yeah.
She's saying, if you would like to stay on the show, I have an opportunity for you. Otherwise, I'm going to slit your throat.
And he has, as a traitor, nobody's going to suspect him to be a traitor.
Nobody.
Because he just led this massive campaign.
Nobody ever would.
Successfully. He has, essentially, with that move, he has granted himself permanent faithful status, never to be questioned for the rest of the season.
Here's the problem with that.
Yeah.
Is that if he says yes, there's no murder. So when they realize there's no murder,
that's true.
They're going to see something else has happened. So now Peter has to go out of his way to be at an 11 for the rest of filming. Because if he's a 6 now, going by Anne Marie's husband's logic, he can't be an 8.5. He can't be an 8.5. If he is not at an 11 at every moment, people are going to think to themselves, Peter's off. Something's different about Peter. Nobody was murdered. What does that mean?
Yeah. And it will take...
It's going to be an impossible job for him.
Yeah. And it'll be a tough thing to decipher. I think, honestly, I could see Sandra being the one who puts those pieces together and clocks, like...
Because she knows Parvati.
Yes. And she knows the game, and she knows to be on the lookout for those weird things that could happen that aren't, like... To question, okay, no one got murdered, so what does this mean? What are the million possibilities that could have happened? And also, who knows, maybe they'll just tell them, hey, instead of someone getting murdered, there's a new traitor. Who knows? But yeah, that'll be interesting. I also think that Phaedra's in a good spot because in a decent spot because she went so hard after Dan again, who was a traitor. So it just makes her look good. But it also brought some attention to her prior to that, Dan bringing attention to her. But also, I don't know, initial logic might be Dan's a traitor. He's not going to go after a fellow traitor. You could think two steps ahead, as I think Sandra and some other people might, and be like, strategy, strategy, strategy.
Trishelle, I think at the end of the episode, said something along those lines. Oh. Dan, now I know essentially that Phaedra's a traitor because Dan needed to sacrifice a true traitor to stay on the show.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing some things about that. Yeah.
When Trishelle said that, I thought, we're fucked.
Mm, she's got a...
Someone like Men in Black style, remove that memory from her brain.
Yeah.
Truly.
The way that Ekansu's memory of being fed that poison was removed from her brain.
We need to get one of those. What was it, like a little silver pen or whatever? Yeah, just flash it in front of her and be like, Trishelle, think about Janelle more. Do other things.
Yeah.
That was concerning to me. Mm-hmm. That was a really, because it is true that nobody was talking about Phaedra and now people are, and that's not a good position to be in ever.
Yeah.
Because now someone who never considered that she was a traitor is now going to be like, oh, or Phaedra. And mm-hmm. that's a real problem for her.
The good thing about this game is how quickly it moves and how on a pin, like things can just mm-hmm. randomly turn in one direction. And if the wind picks it up and catches it, then that's where we're going. Like, it's very fascinating to see. And I think, honestly, the pacing of it, Dan was just talking about how the pacing compared to Big Brother, he felt more at home with Big Brother's pacing. It gave him time to think and strategize and do things versus this show. And Suri, who won last season, said that the pacing of the traitors much better suited her skill set than Big Brother, which he actually went on after the traitors.
Oh, I forgot that because I don't do Big Brother. Yeah. I know her as Survivor.
Survivor, yeah. So she did Big Brother with her son,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember this. I remember seeing it, but I not literally seeing it on social.
Yeah, and she was saying the opposite of Dan, which was like, she was noting the difference in pace. It helped her for traitors and it hurt Dan for traitors. But that is interesting because it is a totally different... the pacing must be such a factor and we don't really get to really take that in as much just because both shows are edited into 44 minute or whatever, and but it must be a trip to just move that quickly, and like there's so many people in that house to have mm-hmm. to like get a feel for where everyone's mind is, how things are going. I imagine you really don't know what's going on or what people's thoughts are or where their attention is until that round table where it has to like be discussed.
Yeah, and Survivor, it's like LOL, spoiler alert, quite literally just trying to survive. Your bodies are starving.
Yeah.
Like you're just trying to stay out of the rain or whatever and then do some gameplay and survive enough to win some games. You can get like a pancake now and again.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's so much waiting around.
And there's so much waiting around, so much just kind of walking and then strategizing why someone's waiting over there when you're over here and then going for a swim. Mm-hmm. Like it's a shit show.
Yeah.
And then Big Brother is like sleepaway camp for but crazier, honestly,
yeah.
than sleepaway camp already is. And that's a lot. I mean, that's still a lot of waiting. I don't know how long. Do you know how long Big Brother takes to film a season?
I think it could vary, but I'm not sure. But
like
it's
a couple months.
Yeah, it's a couple months. It's like a long.
Yeah, that's time. That's a long time. And I assume when you're in Survivor, it feels endless. Like,
yeah.
It feels like completely never ending versus Traitors, which is a couple weeks,
yeah.
right? Like 3-ish weeks or something like that. We don't totally know. I don't think the full length of filming, but that is rapid paced. Also, the cast is huge.
Yeah. That's why like Sheree, especially early, some of them just didn't get airtime. It's just too big.
And maybe they're just trying to catch up. I mean, Sheree being confused is one of my favorite Sherees to have.
Oh my God. One of my favorite things about this season is how Sheree is in the clouds the entire episode, doesn't say a word. And then has no idea what's going on. And then they vote out a faithful. And then Sheree goes, now I'm mad. you guys have done it again. Now I'm mad. Like, well, you guys need to get your act together. And meanwhile, she's voting for John. The only vote for John. And she's looking at everybody else like, what are you guys doing? This is ridiculous. You guys are unprofessional. You are not good at this game. Meanwhile, this is the first we're hearing from her the entire episode. And she's just like, ugh. It's so funny to me.
I love her so much.
It's so good.
It's such good energy. Also, John's like little soliloquy and his like happy, honestly, like sort of happy puppy face of like wagging his tail at the end of it. Because he did good with the words and stuff. That was kind of cute. He is also the four. I don't know why he's there. It feels like a British choice, not just because he's British, to just kind of throw somebody in who's probably had acts of like major consequence, potentially very negative for any number of people. Then he's on Traitors and it like sort of totally absolutely makes sense.
Yeah. Just seeing Tamara interrogate him about whether or not he has asthma.
And whether or not it was childhood asthma or...
Just brilliant.
I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that Phaedra was like, to me, a little bit of a flop? Is that unfair and unfair categorization?
Phaedra being a flop?
Did I say Phaedra?
Yeah.
Tamara. Oh my God. Can you imagine? I would never. No, to my queen, Ms. Parks. I mean, she's giving one of the best performances.
Yes.
I would say, not having seen all of them, but of any, I'm going to say of any Traitors franchise. She really
is. 100%.
Tamara, apologies.
Tamara, I could see. I mean, it's such a crapshoot with this show where people go on a win. Like, you don't, some of the first people out, I think, were people that the audience had their eyes on.
Johnny
like,
Bananas. Gonna,
yeah. So it's like just the way the game works, there really is no rhyme or reason to. And when there is a rhyme or reason, it feels like chaos. So it's tough. I don't begrudge anybody for getting eliminated early. I don't think that's a demonstration always of them being bad at the game. Mm-hmm. It's just fate. But with Tamara, I feel like she had a good, I think she at least had a good time while she was there. I feel like she got some good moments.
Yeah.
The John stuff was really good. The housewife stuff was solid. So it didn't feel like time wasted, at least. Hated to see her go. I feel like there could have been a lot more there. But just the way the game was going, and he said with Janelle even, not being someone who is familiar with Janelle, I still felt that loss where I was like, gone too soon. And so that episode was definitely a hit. But yeah, I feel like it is interesting because she is someone who going in as a housewife fan, you think like, oh, you want to see her throughout the arc of this game, and we just didn't get to.
Which I was honestly a little okay with.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like she did her, she got her points. She did what she wanted
and
to
I would
do.
Rather her leave than Sheree, certainly. Phaedra, oh, yes. No question. I mean, LOL. Or MJ, honestly, because MJ is giving me like a different kind of energy. This episode, I don't think I remembered her, but
I was going to say, MJ still there?
In previous episodes, I have enjoyed her energy and her vibe.
Oh, when she was in that casket.
Oh my God.
So good. What, at one point, she's like, bro.
Although, actually, in thinking back, she is the one who immediately told Dan that he was in the hot seat. MJ, who like said that he was a traitor in previous episodes, seemed to have forgotten that she had short term memory there.
Oh,
she?
Yes. Yeah. Or was that Larsa?
No, I think it was MJ. Might have been both.
I know Larsa went after him hard and then pivoted to CT, which, by the way, the budding romance.
Oh my God.
Between CT and Phaedra.
Can't. Obsessed.
Amazing. The clips of her, of them holding hands through the challenge.
Oh my God.
I died. It was so funny.
What did she say at one point? She was like, he's just so funny. Like she had a line from the last episode of like, he's just so funny.
Yeah. And it's just the way she said it, her delivery of just so soft spoken. And she was
he's
on.
He's just so silly.
Oh, yes.
I couldn't take it. My heart like leapt out of my body. It was too big for the rest of my body.
Oh, that was so good. And then she, on Watch What Happens, she referred to him as her castle daddy.
I don't know. Is he in a relationship? Can we like
with Phaedra? As far as I'm concerned, as far as both I and Phaedra are concerned,
I feel like he might be, but we should end that and also end that on behalf of our needs and interests.
Yeah.
And also, like, they seem like I want them to be really good friends.
100%. Yeah.
I also haven't seen the challenge in a while, but I used to watch it many, many decades ago. And obviously, as any challenge aficionado or even like modest, moderate fan would know. Like, CT is a really, really big deal, as is Johnny Bananas. Mm. Of the two of them, I was thankful that Johnny Bananas was cut because CT does have a Boston accent and that just gives me tingles. So I was happy that he was here. And I was also happy. There are certain times where I'm like happy when the faithful, I mean, many times when I'm happy when innocent faithfuls are known, quote unquote, as innocent. Like when they said, "See, we don't think CT is a traitor," I was, thank God. I just thought to myself, thank God.
Yeah.
I breathed a sigh of relief because I want him to stay here for a little while. And also, I genuinely think he's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, nothing's going to change my mind.
Yeah. Here's a question. Who, moving forward, like season three casting, who are your dream picks that you would want to see?
Well, I know I've had some. I cannot think of any right now. I think Monica has just been brought up by everyone as a must do. I know I said this on something and I literally cannot remember a single one of my picks, but they will come to me. I think I actually threaded them.
Oh,
so
perfect.
I'm going to check my thread. What are your picks while I check and see what I obviously really passionately believed, because I do not remember a single name.
I feel like similarly, I feel like there's so many. What's really great about seeing these casts for one and two, it's like, oh my God, they got all of like the number one picks from every show, like the all-stars, like where are they going to go from here? Mm-hmm. And then I will just go through life watching things and now view it through the lens of like, put them on the traitors, put them on the traitors. And I would love to see like some Vanderpump people. I think.
Who from Vanderpump?
Honestly,
Sheena.
I would love to see, Sheena would be so funny. I feel like I know Stassi's refusing to do the Valley.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she would do Traitors, though.
Yeah, I would be interested to see Stassi on Traitors. I feel like she has the right sensibility and, like, character for it.
Dark Passenger.
Yes. Jeff Lewis, I feel like, would be a fascinating.
And he's talked about it. And he can't do it.
Oh,
because his show is so fucking big. It's allegedly, like, he's talked about this, or somebody's talked about this, that it's second to Howard on Sirius. Like, it's actually a very, very, very big show. I'm a chump, which is what you call Jeff Lewis Live listeners.
Oh,
so
okay,
I listen to
okay.
essentially every episode. And by essential, I mean absolutely, usually audio and video. And he can't do it because of the radio show.
Oh.
And he can't, I don't think he could be away from Monroe, his
that's true. That would be very difficult. 7-ish
year old, I think she's 7, because he's going through a custody battle with Gage, especially because of that. So it's not like there's a lot of like leeway with the co-parenting, because the co-parenting doesn't currently exist.
Mm-hmm.
He would be incredible on Traitors. He would be literally incredible. But I don't think it's going to happen.
That makes sense. That's a bummer. Jenny Poulos then. But yeah, there. What I love are like those deeper cuts where it's like, of course, Housewives and things like that. But, and I honestly, with most of the, I'm just like, can't go wrong. Like, Housewives can't go wrong. With really any number. I think a lot of the times people are like, oh, who has like a traitorous energy? And I'm like, sometimes it's just like, the weird ones are like the good, like TV and just a mix of randos. But like deeper cuts, even outside of Bravo, I would just honestly, some Golden Bachelorette people, Golden Bachelor contestants would be fun. Like just stuff like that.
Do I need to watch that?
I am not a Bachelor person at all. I watched that season and loved it.
Okay.
It felt very authentic and wholesome. Whereas I think the main show, people are there to be on Instagram, but, and then the other two that I want are Tiffany Pollard, I'm sure is, and Gemma Collins.
Who, oh my God, Gemma.
Yeah.
What is she famous for? Because I see her on Instagram all the, like, people posting, and she seems so funny.
So unbelievably funny. It's insane. Her initial claim to fame was a reality show in Britain called The Only Way is Essex. And that was, which is very like The Hills, like scripted-y.
But like a little trashy, right? A little dirty?
Yeah,
it's a little dirty?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
because there's another one that's like The Hills that's British, but it's not as dirty.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe Essex isn't the dirty one.
Georgie Shore is
Jersey
Shore.
Sorry,
Georgie
Shore is dirty. Okay, yeah. Essex isn't dirty. Sorry.
Yeah. It's more so The Hills in terms of like scripted-y and kind of, but from there, she's gone on and done like a million reality shows over there, including Celebrity Big Brother, which was, I think, a big like claim to fame for her because, or that was at least was my introduction. She was on it with Tiffany Pollard, and some of just the most iconic, Tiffany Pollard delivered this monologue about Gemma.
That, oh my God, that was about Gemma.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Someone told her that she was fly, classy, and beautiful. And she's nothing like that. Nothing of the sort.
That's one of my favorite monologues from a show that I have not seen.
It's incredible. Like,
I haven't seen the full episode. I've seen the video, but not the episode.
I've seen, like, every compilation of that season. Have not seen, sat down and watched the season, but I feel like I've lived it. But yeah, I know I'm obsessed with Gemma Collins and she needs to be adapted by the States. By the States.
We couldn't dare adapt her.
Oh, no.
There's only one.
Yes, it would. But no, we need to, like, bring her over, and she needs to be, like, internationally famous, A-list, Met Gala, all of the things. She's so funny. And I think that Traitors was, like, couldn't ask for a better entry point for her because it would just be, like, hilarious to behold.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravo-holic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to T-H-E OUAI.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's THEOUAI.com with promo code Andy. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/AndysGirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/AndysGirls. Sign up today.
Here are my picks, yes, which I believe so fervently that I absolutely forgot them and had to look them up myself. On my own social, rather. My votes were Craig, Southern Charm, because he's just doing great work. Shan, obviously, who I think would be spectacular television. Dr. Heavenly.
Oh, yes. I just started watching Married to Medicine for the first time from the beginning.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm very on board with that.
That's what season are you on now?
I'm like halfway through three right now.
Love. Yeah. Okay. You've got a journey ahead of you. And it's a spectacular one. And Tiffany. Tiffany Pollard.
I was like,
also
Moon?
Known as New York. No. Yes. Although I'm sure Moon would be great, but I really would love, of all of them, I would love genuinely to see all of them. Like, yeah. I can't even pretend that I could break any one of those out. They all need to be on.
Yeah. It's so hard to go wrong casting the show. Like, it just, there's so many, like I said, and at one point I maybe was like, oh my God, they're using up all of these like top tier people so quick in the series's run. And then I'm just like, no, there's no wrong choices. Like, there are so many people. Like, I just will come to mind. I'm like, put Alex and Simon on.
Put Alex and Simon on. And also, you know, there are some flops who flopped and then flops who are not flopping. Like, I would put Peter in the flop who didn't flop because I did think he was going to be a little, I don't know what, bad at this, because I just thought, I don't know, you were the Bachelor. I think you're going to be like maybe too arrogant, or I'm just not going to enjoy you. And I have I've seen a lot of Bachelor clips, like long clips.
Uh-huh.
And I've watched the reunion after the final rose moment from that between Peter, the woman he was at that point, I forget if he was dating or engaged to her, and I couldn't tell you her name. I'm so sorry. But with his parents, I don't know if you've seen that clip.
No.
I don't know anybody's name, so I apologize because I don't hold the rose. I don't hold the eternal rose. Mm-hmm. But he essentially ended up with somebody who his mom at the least didn't like. And she goes so hard into like, you will need to make your own mistakes. Like, you guys are destined to break up. She said that in front of a live audience. And also at one point started to speak to her husband in Spanish, not realizing, or maybe she was playing the short game and not the long game of like, someone will translate that.
Uh-huh.
Of like, you need to stand up for me. And it was a combination of her speaking to her husband in Spanish, because I don't think Chris Harrison is fluent. and just like having the side conversation of like, you know, get off your ass and defend me. And then he very quickly did. And her just giving like sort of menacing energy. She carries a light, but it is not maybe the purest of lights.
Yeah.
There was just something about her that was almost, it was mesmerizing to watch her on television. And she was a lot.
Traitor season three.
Trainer season three, but also she gives me a little, and apologies to her for this comparison. I don't totally mean it, but just in terms of like LD Millionaire, there's like a little bit, and I'm sure she's a wonderful, lovely person.
Uh-huh.
But I did, in remembering that Peter is her child, did think to myself, something's going to be off with Peter. And he, while still retaining a level of arrogance that I did believe he would bring with him, has been smart. Although tell me this. Were you surprised that he announced his strategy to the group? Because I was like, oh, is that a good idea to just publicly announce to everybody that this was your strategy? But I guess that was a good idea,
like,
right?
At the round table? Like,
yeah.
I guess it was.
And the brunch.
I mean, the brunch I thought was weird.
The brunch
that was too soon.
That's what I thought.
Yes, that I thought. I was like, oh, because then everyone was like, who? And then it was like, well, these three. And it gave them plenty of time. It gave Dan plenty of time to do his whole thing. He could spring it. But I guess, again, maybe it just kind of laid the groundwork of like, hey, today we're not going to like come up with new plan. We got the plan already.
Yeah.
But it was weird. Yeah. And then the previous episode when he was actually doing it, I was confused. But like we said, like it did work out. So I can't. Who am I?
It did work out, so it's hard to sort of criticize this thing that was successful. I am really excited to see him as a traitor. I hope he relishes in it. And I think if you're working on The Bachelor and you're one of the contestants, you have had probably very different experiences.
Oh my God,
it feels like they try to anoint the Bachelors and drag the contestants who are the Bachelorettes. Mm-hmm. And then on The Bachelorette, I don't even know if the Bachelorettes are anointed in the same ways that the Bachelors are when you're like the lead on the show. But then when you go into a show like this, I'm like, Peter, embrace your darkness. Embrace the dark side. I think you do want to be evil. Like, and that's good. That's a good quality to have for us, the viewers. So relish in it.
Yeah. I mean, look at Parv, where she was like, let's get him over here and make him kill all of his friends.
I screamed.
Ugh.
I literally screamed.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I love her so much. This is like classic Parv. Brilliant. One of our greatest minds.
Literally one of our greatest minds. Also, one of our least great, Kevin.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Is such a flop. And speaking of arrogant, the way, and it wasn't on this roundtable, but the last one, the way he was essentially like, shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm going to speak deep truths.
Yeah.
I am so annoyed by him and frustrated by him.
Yeah. Tamara's right.
But like, keep him on the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Whatever you do. Great casting. I'm so, because we all thought he was, or many of us thought he was an idiot on Bling Empire. So this is one of those moments of like, you're revealing that you're worse than I thought you were.
Mm. And speaking of flop or bop, Larsa was someone who going in was like, Larsa's on the show? Like, this is so odd. Like, Larsa, you would expect kind of more of a charade performance from her. And then all of a sudden, the world was like seeing this new side to Larsa, where she just was suddenly a genius mastermind in this game and burned too bright. But it was wild to see.
Listen, I know this is an unpopular opinion, and I appreciate it, totally respect people who feel differently. She has said and done terrible things on Miami, I think most specifically about Gertie. And I believe in my heart of hearts that she does not understand why people are upset, and she is not going to, like, in my eyes, quote unquote, properly repent at the reunion. I think she's going to quadruple down.
Yeah.
That is what it is. I do also think she's a very smart woman.
Oh, 100%.
I do also think she's intuitive, maybe not when she fucks up, but like in connecting her own experiences with lessons learned. I think we're seeing that with the Lisa divorce stuff just overall. It's revealing that Larsa understands life, which feels sort of like a miracle. And on Traitors, I loved her. Loved her on Traitors. Oh, loved.
I feel like the double feature of Traitors and what we're currently seeing on Miami right in this moment with her is very fascinating, because it is this new side, and they sort of kind of are in conversation with one another in a way that gives us a new look at Larsa, who I've always had an appreciation for from a television standpoint. Like, I've always just been like obsessed with watching her and seeing how her beautiful mind works or doesn't.
I mean, it really is a little bit of a beautiful mind.
It's just like
Russell Crowe wishes.
Yeah. Sometimes, I've said this before, I say it a lot, but sometimes you meet a housewife on a show and it's like, to think cameras weren't following this woman for any amount of time is a crime. Like, this is someone who needs to be watched and studied, and thank God we do that now.
She's giving us some of her best. I also think, I am sad that Marcus was killed so early.
Yeah, because he was having
fun. He would have been great. He was having fun, and he would have been great. And that was an upset. But also then that reminds me of like Phaedra truly not even pretending to care when anybody was killed because she's looking for a boiled egg. Like,
oh my God,
are
incredible.
You kidding me? Like, it's just, and do I have to like cut this meat or something at one point?
Yeah.
She's just, and the way she looked so beautiful at the round table.
Oh my gosh.
And her hair, her makeup is extraordinary. I need a literal masterclass from her. She could teach me so much.
I saw someone tweet, they were like, is Phaedra the only person who brought glam to Scotland? Like,
if she's doing that herself.
Oh, that would be,
I don't even know. I mean,
time would she have to wake up? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, no matter what, she's waking up to do it. But
I mean, you have like teenagers these days who are like teaching and like doing and contouring. I don't know or understand any of that. So like, if she is able to give herself that high level of excellence when it comes to glam, I mean, add that to one of her many degrees. She has like 12 at this point. Yeah. So throw the makeup on there. She should do a collab with Sephora.
Do you know
Sweet
what it
Christ.
Is?
What?
From doing the mortuary makeup.
Oh my God,
it is. She's a pro.
I bet she is.
Yep.
Does that even really come up at all? Nobody really discusses that.
Not discussing it, but she references it. She at one point, she distinctly said, as a funeral directress, and I don't remember the context, but I remember she said that because I wrote it down.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to say something, but I don't really mean it. But if Kate is coming back, and, you know, I felt like iffy about that until she supported Phaedra, and then I was like, okay, you can stay.
Yeah.
Because it's just like when you burn bright, why are we trying to reimagine it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then, you know what? Disagreeing with myself, when she put down the green box, because she was like, I don't know if I want this shield. And she just kind of stared at it and waited for somebody else to make that decision. That was an iconic moment.
Yeah.
So, but if someone was going to come back, I would love it for it to be Phaedra. Just thinking ahead, because I'm not done with this moment in time. I will never be done.
Depend, because I feel like they had similar, like, I feel like Kate was the Phaedra of last season. In terms of like star,
in terms of star, not behavior, because Kate was like, "Please let me go. Why won't you put me down?"
Yes. I kind of forgot about that too.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Kate threw missions.
Yeah, she fully was like, "I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that." Oh, I forgot. I have to rewatch season one. But yeah, in terms of like breakout star, so I think it will depend on Phaedra's placement, how things shake out, and it could also be. Like, if they're going to bring someone back, it might have to be someone who did take more of the Kate role of, I'm just being goofy.
Who do you think that would, I mean, Sheree hasn't made a big, Sheree is a joke for us. Like, Sheree is an LOL, but I don't think
a
non-Housewives viewer is like, oh my God, Sheree, you know, based on this.
Yeah, like, I don't think it would have an impact for anybody. Janelle, maybe, just in terms of people who maybe, not that she was the Kate in that, but I could see them maybe being like, let's give some of these, like, heavy hitters the chance that they, you know, they were gone too soon. Let's like her, Tamara, or something. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's tough to say before we know how everything shakes out.
Also, speaking of heavy hitters, Ellen fucking coming.
Oh my God.
No one could No one could ever give side eye the way he is. No one could play the jokes as well as he is. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the like best host Emmy thing works if streamers qualify, mm-hmm. but if Peacock is fucking smart, they'll do a For Your Consideration Alan Cumming.
Yeah,
because he is doing the job. Keep him forever, pay him whatever. I hope he is standing out for people. How could they not? If you're watching, he certainly is. He is like the heart and soul of what is, I think, driving this show so hard. He's just fucking killing it. He's doing incredible, incredible work.
100%. No one else could do, like, mm-mm. it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, he's the only person that you can imagine doing this job. Yeah.
I mean, he is doing MC. He's doing cabaret MC energy. And it's, I mean, welcome, willkommen, mm-hmm. you know, bienvenue, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, Google Translate. Hi, hello. I'm a star. Yes. You know, it's just
genius hiring.
Literal mm-hmm. genius hiring. Also, I want to know his thoughts about Ariana in Chicago. I'm just curious for that because Mr. Broadway. He's coming. I think he's doing some short something at Studio 54, maybe.
Oh, yes. Or something. Yeah, I saw that.
Although, isn't that where Days of Wine and Roses is?
Maybe 54 Below it was.
Is it?
I don't know. That doesn't sound right.
Okay, we're both staring at each other. Something. Sure. He's doing something with something, but he's...
Because it's only like a one-night thing, right?
Is it? I think it was super short, whatever it was.
Maybe it was a one-man show.
I'm doing great.
Maybe that's what I was... I don't know.
One night, one man. Listen, Alan can do whatever the fuck he wants. So what do we think? What's our prediction for... This is so unfair. Do we think Peter will accept being a traitor? And what's your long-term prediction?
I think he would be a dummy if he doesn't. Mm. But there was that scene from the trailer where Phaedra said, I don't need to kiss your ass for a rose. So
he has to.
Well, no. Well, would mean they're at odds. So then it's like, well, why are Peter and Phaedra going to be at odds still to come if...
It may be one of them turns... Maybe he turns on her.
Or it's another Dan situation, or he just turns down the traitor thing.
They kill somebody else, though? Maybe, I guess. I guess he could turn it down. They don't have to kill him, right?
Well, no, I think if he turns it down, I don't even know if they get to kill someone or have they wasted their...
No, I think if he turns it down, they get to kill. But if he takes it, they don't. I could be wrong. Oh, okay. I don't know.
Because I knew it was if they...
It's a science.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I can't... But again, I can't imagine that he doesn't. I don't know. But like I said, I feel like they're in a decent spot. I feel like... Ideally, in the next episode, attention gets diverted to like a little random corner. I think that's best for them. And then my ultimate prediction, I don't know. I feel like Pete's getting a good like winner's edit.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the traitors will win. I don't know which one will be the last one standing yet.
If it does somehow end up that it's like Peter's core four or whatever, and they get to the end and they're so excited, and then he's like, oh my God, guys,
that would be amazing television. Yeah.
That would be amazing television. Cause the only thing that was like kind of depressing about season one was like the real world, real people contestants forgot that the name of the show is called The Traitors, and then guilt trip Suri for like doing an excellent job.
I hated that.
And that was a downer because I was like, this woman should be celebrating and you guys are like too innocent. You're like, this is not working out for us. She should not be apologizing for being the queen. You should be
I'm rejoicing. Good at a game.
Yeah, I'm good at a game and the game, the one that we are playing that you signed up to play, which I guess is a benefit. It shows that everybody cares about each other and stakes and whatever, but also like, shut the fuck up. Like, she won. It's a game. It's called The Traitors. That would be fun for me because all of these people are reality TV stars. So that would just be fun for me as a viewer to watch Peter.
I think they'd
be like,
respect it.
100%. I think that they would be confused, and I love confusion on The Traitors. Confusion on The Traitors is like chef's kiss. Incredible. Perfect ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Tom Smith Smythe, I could talk to you forever. You're going to have to come back on. We need a Traitors Unpack. Whatever's to come. I'm so excited. Who's your number one traitor?
Oh, that's so difficult.
Or cast member on The Traitors. Doesn't need to be a traitor.
I think I'm going to go with Parv.
Really?
Yeah. And that's like, her and Phaedra are so neck and neck. Like, those are my two.
Mm.
But I just, Parv is just reminding me of Phaedra. I've known how amazing she is. Mm-hmm. And Parv, I don't get to see in action quite as much. So getting to kind of see her and her headbands in all their glory is such a gift.
And honestly, I'm so glad that you referenced this moment, because it is incredibly important for history, for our history, that the moment when Parvati, which everyone is mispronouncing, including absolutely myself, says, and now we, you know, get to watch him murder all of his friends with such glee and delight. I mean, that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That was an incredible moment. And I have to just say Phaedra. I just do because of the, he's so silly, because of the hand-holding, because of the looks, because of the
Lord,
absolute...
Lord, not Ekansu.
Where are the boiled eggs?
Like, so good.
So good. And also just the fury when she looked at Dan, and also her monologue to Parv of like, nobody likes you.
Nobody likes you, Parvati.
I mean, I just, it's delightful. It's, she has been a total delight on this show. And I'm so thankful to it, and thankful to the traders, and thankful to you. Can you tell the AGs and the tippers where they can follow you on social, buy your amazing paintings, art acquisitions with Milk and Don't Call Me Honey?
Yep.
Did I say it? Okay. Tell me, mention it all. Tell me all that and more.
Yep. So a reality TV account on Instagram, Milk and Don't Call Me Honey. And then my main accounts on Twitter and Instagram are at @Tom_Smythe_.
And guys, you can follow me on Threads. I did post a question of the day, which I think was my most recent thread. Who would you like next on next season of The Traitors? So respond to that. Let me know your thoughts and feels. Some people had some great recommendations and ideas. Someone said Trisha Paytas.
Oh, yes. That would be amazing.
This person also said Peter Madrigal. So like the chaos of those that, choices.
Those are the kind of deep cuts that I want.
Megan King Edmonds, I think, was a really good take. Candace was another one. Caroline Manzo, God bless us, that's never going to happen. Bryn, Kathy Hilton would be funny, although you'd have to get her out of bed. I don't know that she's not an early bird. Erica Jane, Lisa Barlow, a lot of housewives folks, which I was extremely into. So let me know your thoughts and feels in and outside of the Bravo universe. And follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley, same as Threads. And join the Andy Scrolls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. Get exclusive bonus episodes like that nearly three hour, two part Satchel and Reading Rainbow Salt Lake City Spectacular at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Tom, it's about Tom.
It always is. Tom flipped his car. There's a lot of Toms on Bravo. It's been a curse.
You know what? Did Punxsutawney Phil predict that Tom was going to flip his car in that snowstorm in Burbank, wherever the fuck it was?
Yes. He predicted snow in Pasadena.
Thank you. Thank you, Punxsutawney Phil. And your memory lives on regardless of what Wilhelm Pizza Fork de Blasio has done with your ancestors and your relatives. Guys, thanks so much for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.